Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven, non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's Radio 15 for 15% off today.
If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or personal loans, help is here. More and more Americans turn to credit cards to get by. National Debt Relief is helping qualified clients reduce what they owe. For many, continuing to struggle making minimum monthly payments could take years to pay off. National Debt Relief has already helped over 550,000 Americans reduce their debt by negotiating directly with their creditors. When you call, you'll be amazed at how much you can save and how quickly you can become debt-free. If you want off the debt treadmill, visit nationaldebtrelief.com today. You don't need to declare bankruptcy, and you may qualify for significant debt relief. To find out what savings you may qualify for, simply visit nationaldebtrelief.com. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
I have a very high expectation of what I've always thought this franchise is, and that was the best franchise in sports.
In the moments where we are down, as players, we got to execute. Every day, I'm so fortunate to be a part of this team.
This is 49ers Plus Minus.
Hey, everybody. Tim Kawakami here, 49ers Plus Minus on a playoff week, here with my co-host, Matt Barrows of The Athletic. We will be joined by a guest, the first time ever 49ers Plus Minus guest at the end of this show. It's Odyssey NFL insider Ross Tucker. I think if you know the NFL, if you follow it, you know Ross. He's got some Philly ties. It'll be good to talk to him about this 49ers-Eagles playoff matchup. That'll be at the end. First, the normal Kawakami Barrows chatter that you've come to know and love. Barrows, as we always do, with this massively injured team, always got to look at who's practicing and who's not leading into a big game. This is the biggest, obviously, of the year, the playoff game in Philadelphia on Sunday. Who's healthy? Who's not? Who's looking good? Who's looking ready to play on Sunday? And who is not right now? This is Thursday afternoon we are recording.
This is the the Thursday practice is the most important practice. So if you're at this Thursday practice, it's likely you're going to play. The guys who were not at this practice were Ricky Pearsall, D. Winters. Those are both a big deal. Keon White, which is only a slightly less big deal, and Luke Gifford, who's the captain of the special teams, which, you know, gives the 49ers ostensibly one advantage in one facet of the game. That's the bad news. There was some good news today, and that was Trent Williams was back at practice. He was a limited participant, certainly was not moving around in a hurry. he's recovering from the hamstring strain, of course, but he was out there and got through the practice okay. And we'll have to wait until Shanahan confirms it on Friday, but he seems like he at least has a legitimate shot to play. And that would be a shot in the
huge,
arm for
huge, yep.
49ers. Huge. And then the other guy who was seen, and I should mention that Ricky Pearsall was running on a side field, which is what he was doing on Wednesday as well. Next to Ricky Pearsall on the side field was Fred Warner. That's the first time we've ever seen him sort of out and about and moving on that injured ankle, still recovering ankle. He was doing all sorts of stuff, high knees and light sprints, or I'd say half speed sprints. And also, I don't know what this is called, resistance running when you've got a band tied to you, which
it.
From a distance made it seem like, oh God, he looks terrible. He's not running very fast at all. And then you realize, oh, he's tethered to another human being. So that's what he was doing. So, I mean, he's not playing this week. Let's just get that out of the way. If the 49ers pulled off a miracle and somehow beat the Eagles, I think at the very least we're talking about him a lot more. And he would be in the offing. Would he play against the Rams or the Seahawks or whoever they played in round two? Probably not. But I think it would be up for discussion. And I think that he would, you know, have his practice window officially open. I mean, why not? Because you can only, you know, do so for a certain number of weeks anyway. So that would work. So it would be another sort of shot in the arm. There would be a ton of momentum, obviously, for this team if they pulled off the upset in Philadelphia. If you pull off the upset in Philadelphia and you might get Fred Warner back, that's even more. I mean, you go from optimism to euphoria at that point.
I don't know. Eric Kendricks could just dominate the Eagles.
And he could.
You just say, forget about Fred. Nice. It's nice that you're healthy. We got our guy here. Maybe you move to weak side over Garrett Wilhelm. Maybe not. You know, and I, by the way, I feel not so terrible messing up his name. Just on Twitter, which is not seriously because I didn't really look it up. I just was typing his name when the head coach called him Marlowe, I think, the other day. So it's tough. It's tough to keep track of all these guys out there. I'm not ripping Shanahan either. This is just a lot of names coming through here. Playing linebacker in a playoff game against a team that runs the ball a lot. This could be very sick. Now, you said miracle. I don't think it would be a miracle for the 49ers to win this game. It's like a 4.5-point spread. It's just – it's this one plus the next one plus the next one. You see the whole thing, and it's very hard to foresee the 49ers getting through all these games, maybe even two games. One game, you know, the Eagles, one thing I do want to keep reminding myself, the Eagles have not had a great year offensively. They have done some weird things. Can the 49ers, with whoever they're throwing out there, hold up for that? But I just think it's let's always do this. Trent Williams definitely seems like he's on the path to playing. Just getting him out there, I think it's important for the 49ers to see that on a Thursday installation day, all the things you need to see. And as I always point out, it's not just a sign that guys could play Sunday. It's how they prepare to play Sunday. You practice to prepare. That's if you haven't practiced, you're not all the way prepared, I think, in the 49ers. Although Shanahan kind of snapped back at me, by the way, when I asked him about that yesterday, when I said, you know, you normally don't play guys on Sunday if they don't practice on Wednesday and Thursday. That's not a rule. That's not a rule. We're just going to play whoever's best. Granted, obviously, my poor phrasing. And with a veteran like Trent Williams, you certainly would say, listen, if he doesn't practice on Wednesday or Thursday, you're going to give him every opportunity to play on Sunday. This just does show there's a, you know, momentum towards him playing Sunday. And it does show there's not a lot of momentum for Ricky Pearsall and Dean Winters. I certainly want to expect both of them. Maybe, you know, one of them gets out there, maybe not. It's not just jeopardizing their health. They may not be that good when they're hurt, right? It's just, you might just have other healthier players who can do that. Obviously, maybe not the same talent level, but that doesn't, and the Keon White does not sound great either, Barrows. This is not a situation where you want a guy who's limited going up against, you know, that big offensive line. Lane Johnson for the Eagles, we could do that.
Right.
Their injury report is coming back healthy, a great offensive lineman who's been missing. Do you want to put up, you know, a wounded guy to try to brace up there, just try to put some healthy guys, Robert Beal, whoever else they can? I just think it's trying to not, you know, piss off Shanahan even more, but not that he was pissed off, but he didn't love that kind of blanket statement. But man, if you can't get on a practice field Wednesday and Thursday, you probably are not the best guy to put out there on Sunday. And even in a playoff game, Trent Williams would be the one exception in this. And he did make it to the field. Clearly they're pointing for Trent Williams to play. That is a huge thing. But if Pearsall and Winters don't play and maybe Keon White, yeah, where are the biggest vulnerabilities for the 49ers?
Yeah, I mean, obviously Tatum Bethune is not now on IR.
That's out. Yeah, absolutely.
So he's not playing. So you're on your fourth middle linebacker to start a game, who is Eric Kendricks, which is, you know, in my mind, not bad considering the circumstances. Eric Kendricks has played this game for a long time. This is his 11th season. He's been a middle linebacker for the bulk of that. So he knows, you know, the ins and outs of there's no sort of kind of catch up for Eric Kendricks, which maybe you dealt with Tatum Bethune early on. He's a veteran. So I think that's, I don't want to say it's a one for one because he's the backup, but I don't think that the fall, the step down is going to be dramatic at all at middle linebacker. What I'm wondering about is weak side linebacker, because that could be big. I've been talking about D Winters being, you know, the not the best player, but having the best off season of any 49er for months and months now. He had a great spring, a great summer. He started off the season really well. You know, it wasn't always perfect. Certainly the Bears game wasn't great for him, but for the most part, he's been really good. Not quite Dre Greenlaw good, certainly at Dre Greenlaw's peak, but he's been close, and he's made the 49ers not miss Greenlaw as much as everybody thought they would back in March and April. I don't know about Garrett Warlaw / Wallow. I'm not familiar with him. I don't think he played very well when he came in, but you know, that's what you expect. You don't expect the guy to be great sort of on the fly. Tatum Bethune certainly wasn't in the Tampa Bay game, the one that Fred Warner got hurt in, and he was much better the next week. So that's a possibility. The other possibility is that Kazir White, I think that's the way you pronounce it, you know, steps in at weak side linebacker. So you would have a guy in Eric Kendricks who was signed. Your top three linebackers basically would have been signed something like November 26th for Kendricks, December 8th for Wallow, and yesterday.
And that's because they weren't on another team. Let's clear up. You know, it's not they were playing available. By the way, yeah, they were as available as Matt Barros was.
Yes, exactly.
Barros was next in line, I'm pretty sure.
One of the differences between White and myself is that White played three seasons in San Diego. I don't know if they were still San Diego back then, for the Chargers under Gus Bradley. So it's this defense. It's not exactly the same, but he's familiar with it. I find it hard to think that he could, you know, weak side linebackers in every down position. So maybe that strong side spot is best for him. Maybe, you know, that might play against this team. That might play a lot, actually. But it's not every down. But I don't think that he would be weak side. I think it's Garrett Wallow, number 49. So you have number 43 and number 49. And then Kazir White is number 38. So just the numbers alone tell you where we are in the linebacker pecking order here.
That is a lot. And I'm sure the Eagles are focusing in exactly on that. They are a power team. They test the middle of the field. They have a quarterback who runs, although not as much as he has been. They have obviously Saquon Barkley again. It has been a lackluster offensive season after they won the Super Bowl last season. Saquon put up in massive numbers last year. It has not happened. There's been some weirdness. I think that is one X factor for the 49ers. Can they just make it weird? Can they just get some grumbling going on in Lincoln Financial Field, which we know can happen in Philadelphia? I covered the Eagles years ago. It can happen really fast. You know, there's been obviously complaints about offensive coordinator Kevin Petullo. Just this week, there's been some weird little comments from, you know, Jalen Hurts saying, oh, it's coordinator wants, you know, this is the coordinator. I don't know that the 49ers have enough to really cause that, to really shake up the Eagles, but you never know. They've struggled against some not great defenses this season.
That is going to be a fascinating thing, or maybe it won't be fascinating. Maybe they're just going to pile drive the 49ers. When the 49ers have beat them, as we know in that, 42-19 game a couple years ago, they had Debo and they had Ayuk and they had a lot going on. They also had a lot of great defensive players and they don't have them, Bosa and Warner, et cetera, et cetera. Armstead was even on that team. Can they do it? Robert Saleh, man, if you could cook it up in this one, you should get a head coaching job. And I know he's getting requests. He'll do the interviews, I guess, next week, right? You do them next week if you're whether you win or lose. You don't do them this week if you're on a playoff team. He might get a head coaching job. Man, this is a great, great interview process. If he can figure out a way to have Garrett Wallow and Eric Kendricks and whoever else, Robert Beal, and I don't even know who else is going to be out there. I do think a lot is going to get put on the safeties. They're both healthy. Malik Mustafa and Jair Brown. We've seen them miss a lot of tackles. We've seen them not get interceptions. I think there's been a lot of responsibility on them because there's not as much in front of them. They haven't always done great within that responsibility. I think it's a little bit much for them. I don't think either one of them is, Talanoa Hufanga or whoever else they've had stars back there, Jimmy Ward. But they're healthy. They're talented. Can they run up to the line of scrimmage and not miss the tackle? We've seen Mustafa miss a lot of tackles. I think he's got the ability to do it. This would be a great day for the 49ers to get everything that they dreamed out of those two guys. You know, not first round picks, but drafted guys that they've liked. Can they do it? You hate to say, hey, can the safeties do it? Because that is a formula for getting beat. But those are like the most talented players they got, Barros. I mean, I don't know where else you go to. Alfred Collins, Kittle's favorite guy. I guess Bryce Huff for sure, but we've seen that production decline as he's kind of had to, getting double teams, playing all these snaps. It certainly wasn't planned out to be like this. He's not Nick Bosa. He's supposed to be the counter to Bosa. I don't know who else you're looking for in this defense, so I'm kind of going to the safeties. Again, realizing that this ain't Ed Reed and Troy Polamalu back there, but they're going to have to make some plays, I think, because they'll be around it because the front seven is going to get blocked, is what my opinion on this. And maybe Mustafa and Jair Brown can be a little bit of the erasers. A lot to ask. I'll say that again. But they are the guys who are starters, and they're out there. And Lenore, we always say, but they don't, as we always say, he doesn't get thrown the ball very much. He's covering his guy. Renardo Green is the guy that people throw at. They need to put help over there. Again, maybe the safeties can be an important part of this.
Yeah, I mean, you're asking, I agree with your premise of, it wouldn't take much to get the Philly crowd to turn on the Eagles, particularly the Eagles offense. And in fact, we heard boos during that game 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. And then Nick Sirianni comes back and he wins the Super Bowl the next year. But you're asking Kurt Wallow and Robert Beal and Cleveland Furl to be the catalysts for that. And that's just very difficult for me to envision it. Now, having said that, you're asking, who could be that guy? I mean, I think that Kendricks is probably your best bet. I mean, because of the position that he plays, because of his experience, and because he hasn't played 17 games. I mean, he basically, if this were a season for Eric Kendricks, he'd just be kind of finishing up the preseason right now. That's how fresh his body would be, his legs, all that stuff. So he's not going to be as worn down. Neither will Garrett Wallow and some of these other guys. So I think that is the thread of hope for the defense, and the fact that after two straight short weeks of preparation, which the 49ers this week have not been shy about.
No.
Jumping on, they do have an extra day this week. So it's not just a regular week for them. It's a regular week plus one, which they think, they can feel it in their bodies. They can feel it in their minds and everything else. So I think that that would be a bonus for them as well. Obviously, the Eagles don't have to travel, and a lot of their starters got rested in week 18. It doesn't look like it's going to rain, though, Tim.
Wow. Meteorologist. Way to go, Matt.
I mean, it looks like it could be even sunny at kickoff. Now, that sun won't be in the sky for very long. But I think if there's rain on Sunday, I know a lot of our apps are suggesting that there will be. But I think that it means that it's just after midnight rain, the residue from the Saturday storm.
And so, it's like 40s and 30s, right? I think that's what I've seen, which is
I showed up at work today. Yeah, the 49ers, for some reason, had all their media stuff in the morning today and had the regular 1 o'clock practice. So I showed up like around 8:30 this morning, and it was in the 40s in Santa Clara. Now, here's something. This is an exclusive and probably going to get aggregated, but I'm walking up, and you know how I carry my binoculars with me wherever I go, and I'm a bird watcher. I see two eagles perched on top of the stadium.
Oh my goodness!
Do they have
cameras and they're recording?
They did not. They flew off as I was approaching the stadium. They were also golden eagles, so not
eagle.
That is the Philadelphia Eagles logo. So not exactly the same. So I don't think it's a real harbinger of things to come.
As a kid, I loved golden eagles. I used to draw them all the time. Those were one of my favorite eagles. Just the idea of Barrows walking up with his backpack and then just pulling out his binoculars when he sees a couple of eagles on the top of the stadium. It's just,
hey, if you're a bird watcher, you don't want to be being caught without your binoculars. If you're a bird watcher, is being caught naked. It's like you say, oh, gosh, I'm naked. I can't tell what this bird is.
I don't even want to. Barrows are taking us down different roads here, but I'm sure Shanahan was a little worried about seeing those Eagles. So we'll put it that way. Offensively, this is where the 49ers have to win it, no question. With Trent Williams, I think you won't see that kind of dual thing where both edges are coming around the corner and crashing into Purdy like we saw in that last play. Austin Pleasance is a guy, and they showed that. Very vulnerable in the last game. Eagles have great edge rushers like the Seahawks, have a great put-together defense. Obviously they don't want to make Purdy throw the ball to win this game 40 times, 45 times. It's going to be too hard. No Ricky Pearsall probably. It's just not the way this thing should run. Maybe he'll do it, and as we talked last time, and maybe it'll be a great thing for Brock Purdy's reputation in this league. I just don't think they can say they're going to do it. Maybe, when they have better receivers, you can try to do something like that. When you have a right tackle who you feel a little better in pass blocking than Colton McKivitz, I know he's an undersung guy. He gets ripped by fans sometimes. He's been solid, but he does get beat on the pass rush occasionally. It's got to be Christian McCaffrey is the way I'm thinking here, mostly on the ground. Now, again, it's tough to run on the road in a playoff game when everyone knows you're going to try to run. We saw what happened. They got stuffed by the Seahawks. Again, that's without Trent Williams, though. And the Eagles have given up some big run games. I saw the 261 by the Bears. That really jumps out. That was not that long ago. The Bears are a really good running team. If the Eagles defense, and we know their coordinator very well, Vic Fangio, is susceptible, it's to the run. Do you think the 49ers are one just going to try to stick with it? And do you think they can be successful against the Eagles?
Yeah, I mean, that's the question. And that gets to the heart of Trent Williams playing and how healthy he is and all of that stuff. But you're right. I mean, that's the avenue to win this game, is that you control the line of scrimmage, you control the clock, you make it so, that would be a way to put pressure on that Eagles offense too, and get some boos out of the crowd. If the Eagles fell behind and, the 49ers were hogging the ball and the Eagles offense sputtered a couple of times, that would do it in Philadelphia. But like you said, I mean, everybody and their brother knows what's going to happen. And usually Vic Fangio is a master at taking away a team's strengths. I've been trying to kind of figure out, based on our experience of covering Vic Fangio, like what gave Fangio and those defenses trouble? And they did, you know, run into trouble from time to time. They got smoked in the first half of the NFC Championship game in Atlanta.
Yeah.
But they had Matt Ryan and Julio Jones, and then the 49ers, Vic Fangio, made a big adjustment at halftime and took that away. So that's sort of the genius of Fangio, is that even when you are getting yards against him, he's been around long enough to know what the halftime move is, what the adjustments are. You know, I would think that one advantage for the 49ers, and I think we talked about this in the earlier podcast this week, is that there really isn't a team in the NFC East that plays the 49ers offense. Those offenses are all around the league right now. And, you know, the Seattle Seahawks are a fantastic example of that. They play against the Rams twice. They play against the 49ers twice. They play against their own team. All these teams run the exact same offense. So they're well-versed in knowing how to stop it. Chicago Bears, not quite as much. Certainly the Titans weren't, the Colts weren't. So, you know, that has been an advantage for the 49ers over the years. And Shanahan said as much the other day. I asked him about it. When you're playing a team that doesn't play that zone blocking offense a lot, you know, those are the times that you can get gashed. And you saw it in week 7 against the Falcons. So that's a possibility. Again, though, I think Vic Fangio's been thinking about this game for a while. He certainly knows the 49ers. He's attended a lot of 49ers practices for somebody who's not affiliated with the organization.
And Shanahan said, what I know is his girlfriend lives out here. Shanahan just said it at the podium. It's like, okay. I've met Vic and his girlfriend. So anyway, I just always chuckle at Shanahanism sometimes. And I'll just say, I don't think Fangio is going to let Christian McCaffrey go crazy, at least in the passing game. Sometimes you just can't stop him when the 49ers have the blocking going, but he's not going to just put the linebacker on him and try to have him cover him in flat and get picked or whatever. That's just not going to happen. He'll have somebody really good get committed to Christian McCaffrey out of the backfield as often as possible. I think it's just going to be really hard for the 49ers to try to win the game that way. We'll see. And you know, Vic, also the one thing I learned from covering Vic, he covers the middle of the field. Like the middle of the field, he tries to take care of. Doesn't always stop it, but he just doesn't give it up easily. And he's got good line, Jack Bond and other guys. They got guys who can cover in the middle. We know that's where the 49ers love to go. We know they love those slant routes. We know those can get tight in there.
Right.
And the ball can get deflected. And, you know, Juwan Jennings, 7 passes attended for Juwan Jennings have been intercepted, and many of them have been deflected. I think most of them have been deflected on those slant routes that are just so important that Shanahan needs Purdy to throw. He's told to throw those tight window passes. Sometimes the defender makes a good play on it. Sometimes the ball's a little bit off, whatever. That's going to happen a lot, I think. Can you hit those tight windows? Can you fight for the ball? We know they don't have man beaters. You know, their receivers are not one-on-one guys. They're in the scheme guys. It might have to be DeMarcus Robinson. God knows Jordan Watkins could be out there. Who knows?
His window is open.
I don't think he's going to play. But, like, you know, there are going to be opportunities for guys to try to go get the ball. They're going to have to. And we'll see if they can do it. I took one for the team here, Barrows. I did ask Shanahan yesterday, given what happened several years ago in the NFC Championship game, you lost both your quarterbacks and you're playing Christian McCaffrey quarterback in the second half, would you think about having a third quarterback active? And Matt Barrows was not an unexpected response. What was the response?
Oh, the response was I don't think that lightning is going to happen twice. Or, you know, that's a problem going into any game. We're not going to do it for this game just because it's in Philadelphia.
Yeah, I shouldn't have said it like that because I gave him an easy note. Like, it never happened in 45 years. Like, he just gave those stats, and I agree. It's like maybe you do it for all big games, right? I mean, not just because it's in Philly, just for all big games in case you get to that spot. I understand it. If they do need that spot, they've got so many wounded guys. You need extra bodies. I totally understand. Although I don't know that Jordan James is exactly playing a ton as an active player.
Wait, what are you talking about? He played 6.
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is, if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. One thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. And for decades, Angie's helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. Get all your jobs done well at Angie.com.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Snaps on special teams.
I really, really watched that really carefully. And also, I get it. If you're down to your third quarterback, you're probably not going to win, right? I mean, this is understood. I did want to ask the question, and I did know that it might be a snappy response, and it certainly was a snappy response. He looked like I was an idiot, and he often does, and sometimes I am an idiot. So it's just for the podcast fodder, Barros. I do this for us. I do this for the greater good.
You have to ask the question, because every now and then the answer is unexpectedly fantastic.
Yes.
And certainly with Shanahan, he does try to answer most questions.
If he's got a good answer, you're going to get it.
Yeah,
if you ask it. Sometimes you got to mind that, and you got to keep throwing things out there. But there was one yesterday. I'm trying to remember. And I was like, I went, whoa, that was interesting. But you know, that's what he's a very interesting dude, very interesting guy to cover. You just never know. And you take it when you throw a question out there that he doesn't love so much. And that's good. It tells us about the team too. It tells us about the way he's thinking. But also, it was a good day to be out there yesterday. You guys handed out the good guy award. I didn't know what the hell was going on over there, because I wasn't sure what, because I had chatted with Brock before that. But I knew there was a commotion going over there. What happened in the locker room yesterday?
Well, we had to gather two people together, and gathering one quarterback is difficult. So gathering two, it was sort of a now or never situation. The Niver Award went to Brock Purdy and Mac Jones. And that was
the
how
media, the media, best guy dealing with the media, right?
Right. This is the guy who's most professional. I forget what the formal definition is, but it's the media good guy award. And, you know, we've talked about it. Trent Williams has won it a couple of times. Nick Bosa won it. Juszczyk's won it. Kittle won it last year. Mm-hmm. The guy in my mind who you ask a question not only is available, there's a difference between being available and giving good answers, but really kind of think about the answers that they're giving. And for me, at least, I thought that Purdy this year, you know, with the foot and just his acknowledgement that he didn't realize, you know, how big a role the big toe plays in throwing the football, and just things like that that you don't get from every quarterback in the league. And then Mac Jones was just a kind of a breath of fresh air. It's just so weird and different, and you know, certainly allowed us to write quite a bit at the beginning of the season. So I thought it was very appropriate that they ended up in a tie. We have had a tie in the past. I think it was Jimmy Garoppolo and Trent Williams. Back in 2007, it was Sean Hill and Alex Smith.
Okay, that works. Year. That works. Yeah, that works. In kind of a similar way. Yeah, I like
maybe
that.
Maybe it was 2008. 2007, I think, was the Rocky Bernard year. And if you know what that means. That was the year poor Alex Smith was ground into the turf by Rocky Bernard.
And Mike Nolan was not that sympathetic.
He just played. You play, you rub dirt on it, and you play with your arm literally dangling off the side.
Mike Nolan, man, Mike Nolan. All right, let's make our prediction before we get Ross Tucker on here in a little bit. You beat me last week. You called out a loss for the 49ers, and absolutely was a loss. I thought they might win that. I was wrong. This is even tougher. This is maybe missing even more people. Barros, what's your prediction for this game?
Yeah, I will say that I've grown more optimistic for the 49ers during the week. I think that the rest thing, I believe in the rest thing, and I believe in the preparation thing, and I'm writing a story about that this week, but it's not enough for me to pick them. I do think that the fight that they give the Eagles will be better than what I was thinking it was early in the week. I don't think that they can win this game. So I'm going to say sort of another kind of gritty, slug it out, not quite as gritty and slug it out as the Seahawks game, but I'm going to say 24-20 Philadelphia Eagles, and who then go on to what, Seattle. So that will be
probably, yeah, might be Chicago, might be Chicago. I do think the 49ers have a shot at this. I do, because the Eagles could struggle. Jalen Hurts could do some weird things. Maybe Saleh figures out a way, you know, like he slowed down Jonathan Taylor in the Colts game to slow down Saquon. They could get that fan base a little agitated, and there could be A.J. Brown throwing his arms up on the sideline. I just don't think the 49ers can hold it forever, given the personnel they have. And some point, someone's going to pop one. You know, Saquon's going to go for 75. A.J. Brown's going to cut across the middle and just run past everybody. But I think it's going to be a little tense, at least through the halftime, maybe into the third quarter. I think the 49ers are going to, you know, get a couple drives, get some field goals. And obviously, they want to score touchdowns. Maybe they will, maybe they won't. I don't think either team's going wild. I think we will feel like this is a very interesting game late into the third quarter, and I just think the Eagles are going to have too many talented players. It's like the Seahawks. They just, at some point, you looked at it, scheme, whatever, da-da, they had too many talented players. They had just guys that you go, I know that guy, Devin Witherspoon. I know this guy, DeMarcus Lawrence, da-da-da-da-da, Jackson Smith and Jigba. They just got guys that the 49ers do not have right now. But, you know, there will be a rush to judgment. There will be conclusions. I don't know that this one is going to be a game that really merits that. We've talked about it. You know, Brock Purdy falls short or whatever. I just don't know that it's going to – maybe it turns out like that. I don't feel like that going in. This game is not about the 49ers Super Bowl window. This game is not about the end of an era. I just watched the Taylor Swift documentary, so I'm into the era thing. It was pretty good. Dan Brown was the mind.
You got mad at me for talking about birds. Now you're bringing up Taylor Swift.
Well, that's a pretty, pretty important social construct there with the Taylor Swift. Anyway, I do think that the 49ers have a lot of guts. They have a lot of fight in them. I wrote about Kittle and McCaffrey today, that locker, those back-to-back lockers mean so much. I think that's how they got through all this and maybe even came out better, you know, more bonded together. Those two guys are inseparable. Those two guys are so important. Other very important players, obviously. Fred Warner would be a huge part of this if he was healthy, and he could be a huge part of this later in the playoffs if the Niners get there. Trent Williams is so important, obviously. Brock Purdy. But I think they're going to fight through this. I just don't know that they got enough. And in fact, I would guess that they do not. I think they could win. get a bounce here, get a turnover. Again, they're not great at turnovers. Get a couple sacks, they're not great at sacks. All these things that would give them an outside wild card shot in the wild card round, I don't see as likely. I'm saying, I think I said 20, what is it? I do it for tomorrow, so I made my prediction, like 24-17, I think something like that, where the Eagles maybe don't look so great, but just keep going, just keep churning, let their good players be their good players, let that offensive line just kind of take over, get short fields, and maybe punch one through, or maybe get a big play in there, maybe get both. And win this game. And I just don't think this, you know, we were all thinking about, you know, there were tears in that locker room after Purdy got hurt and they lose in the NFC Championship game at January 23. There won't be like that. I mean, there will be sadness. There will be anguish, I'm sure. But that's not what the season was about. That season, who in the hell knows, but they had a great team and then the rookie quarterback played great. This season, they don't have that roster. It's been hurt. They've gotten rid of a lot of the guys. They're pointing to the next few years. The Super Bowl window probably opens next year. So I just feel like it's going to be a presentable, hard fought. Maybe if they get a break, they can win it. Maybe Sky Moore breaks a punt return. But those are hard things to try to count on. Those are almost impossible things to try to count on. Maybe they get more field goal luck and the Eagles kicker misses one or two. But it'd have to be like two or three of those things. And I'm not counting on those, especially on the road. Especially, you know, I just don't know who's making the big tackle, you know, on third and two when Saquon's getting it and he's just going to break through the line and who's making that tackle.
Or a swish push. I mean,
absolutely. No question. So that's our picks. We've got, by the way, let's just welcome in Odyssey NFL insider Ross Tucker. Ross, good to have you on here. Insider calls are brought to you by Nationwide for your insurance needs. Nationwide is on your side. I don't know if I get paid for that, but I did read it for you, Ross. I appreciate you coming on. How you doing, Ross?
Well, first of all, that ensures that I get paid for
this. There you go.
Well, that's the most important thing.
Which is good. Secondly, it's funny. They said, will you go on our Niners podcast? I said, sure, I'd love to. I didn't know I was in the presence of legends. I mean, you guys have been covering the team out there in the Bay Area. It's funny because you have to tell me how long you've been doing it, but from my last year was 07. So I did Sirius XM NFL radio from 2008 till like 2020 maybe. And I know we've had both you guys on the show and obviously have followed what you guys have done for years. I had no idea what was going on with Kawakami and Matt Barrows. This is great. What's up?
Good surprise. I mean, Barrows can be a little scary sometimes, but I'm very
friendly. But at least I'm with two like pros that know what they're doing. Yeah. I didn't know who I was about to. When I just clicked that thing, I had no idea what I was signing up for.
I'm glad you didn't I got worse than I was expecting. Jesus Christ, I got these guys. Well, Barrows just pulled out a 2002 reference or something like that. So when did you start covering this team,
Barrows? No, I said, I started covering in 2003. So I've never covered a Super Bowl winning team. Tim, were you on the 49ers beat when they won any of their?
No. I was in LA back then. I've started covering being a columnist for 49ers since 2000.
I have a story for you guys.
Shoot.
2004. Second to last.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is, if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. From roof repair to emergency plumbing and more, done well. So the next time you have a home project, leave it to the pros. Get started at Angie.com.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Last game, maybe. I'm starting for the Buffalo Bills at left guard, and we had won like four or five in a row, and the Niners were terrible. I mean, I can't remember who your coach was, but 2004 – you guys were bad.
No, it was Nolan.
The things I remember about it, I'm not going to say his name. I don't want to embarrass him, but you guys had fireworks before the game, and there was like some fog there, and we had a player who, any way he could get out of trying to play, he would do it, right? So we're there, and the fireworks happen, and there's a little bit of fog there. And he's like, my eyes, I can't see. right before the opening series.
That's great.
The trainer's like, he was a high pick. And the trainer's like, got his helmet, handed it to him, and basically pushed him out onto the field so he would actually play. And it's funny because Jeff Ulbrich, the D coordinator for the Falcons, he was starting at linebacker for the Niners that day. And I had a couple dirty cut blocks on him, and he told me I was a cheap shot artist and whatever. And we're friends now, so it's just funny, like, the things that you remember, you know, from a game like that.
I knew Ulbrich's name was going to come up in this. I just I know the era. I know all the players. Well, I know you. Like, you're probably going to get involved with Ulbrich at some point.
It was Erickson. It wasn't Erickson coach team. It would have been Ulbrich and Derek Smith as the starting linebackers. So I'm sure you were blocking both those guys.
A D tackle named Tony Brown who could just not stay in his gap to save his life. I think Bryant Young might have been hurt, thank God.
Yeah.
I can't remember. Julian Peterson. I know you guys want to talk about the current team. I'm ready. But just funny, going back memory lane, I think that was my only time starting a game at Candlestick Park. And ironically, I don't know what the schedule was that year. We also played at Oakland Alameda earlier in the year against the Raiders. And I didn't know if I'd ever be back there again. So right during pregame warmups, we were practicing warming up right near the black hole. I went like 4 feet away from them, and I said, "Is this all you guys got? Is this it?" And they were all like, trying to grab and reach for me. I knew my football days were limited. You know, I ended up playing 7 years, so I was going for the full experience. I wanted the full black hole experience.
You should have just gone right in there. You could right in there, Ross. They would have accepted you as one of their own. It would have loved you in your Bills uniform. Well, let's talk about this game. We got you on here. I know you know the Eagles really well. And I guess the question we've got has kind of been dawning on me lately. Like, why isn't this point spread higher? Because we all know how injured the 49ers are. And they're, you know, probably maybe without Ricky Pierce all in this game and others. But then I thought, yeah, the Eagles are not having a superpower season, right, coming off a Super Bowl. And that offense certainly has been under question. Is it enough of a question mark, you think, to wonder whether they can overpower a 49ers defense that has almost nobody, none of their frontline guys?
Yeah, I mean, I think I think the betting line is a product of a couple different things. I think it's, number one, the Eagles have just not been very efficient or effective on offense. You know, I think that they've just been up and down is probably almost a kind way to describe it. You know, I think they've been better as of late. You know, obviously their second half against the Bills was bad, but over the last month of the season, it certainly feels like they were at least moving the ball better. But has not been nearly as consistent as it was last year. And I also think there's a lot of respect, and rightfully so, for the Niners offense, for Kyle Shanahan and what they've done. So you combine those two, and I can see where people think it'll be a one-score game. You know, it does feel to me like it would be a heck of an accomplishment for the Niners to win the game. And I'll tell you why. You know, I watched that Seattle game, and they really got the crap beat out of them. I mean, the Seahawks beat them up front, both sides of the ball. Meanwhile, and the Niners already had all these injuries. Meanwhile, the Eagles rested all their guys in week 18. So you would think that that would be a pretty significant advantage, at least it should be, for the Eagles in this game, which is why I kind of feel like, you know, as good as the Eagles' defense is, I have faith in Shanahan to at least be better than Seattle and get to double digits, you know, maybe 14, 17, 20 in that range. And, you know, say what you will about all the guys the Niners have lost on defense, Salah's gotten those guys to battle. Now, it probably should have been a bigger margin, but they only give up 13 points to the Seahawks. I mean, that's how many points they scored. I know Chicago put up a bunch, but I think that they can battle enough. It feels to me like 23-20, 24-20. I do think the Eagles will win the game, and I do think it'd be a heck of an accomplishment if the Niners were able to pull it off, especially because of what I just said. Because I think in the second half, you would think the Eagles would be able to wear them down a little bit. Plus, the Eagles kind of have a trump card that they haven't used much this year, and that's the quarterback run game with Jalen Hurts. I think it was a goal of theirs for Jalen to stay healthy the whole year and not miss any games. They did that. He didn't miss any games, but he didn't run very much. I mean, he probably ran twice a game, and most of those were not designed runs. Whereas I think you'll see Sunday in the second half of the game, certainly in the fourth quarter, if they need it, they will break out some design runs. Like if it's an empty set, look for a quarterback draw. They will break that stuff out knowing how valuable it is when you get that extra blocker and you have the quarterback as the runner.
Tim and I were talking about this before the game. If the Eagles, especially their offense, got off to a slow start, what are the chances that the crowd starts to grumble? The crowd starts to turn on the home team. Is that a possibility? I think we heard boos when the 49ers were out there in 2023. Not a great game for the Eagles there. Is that kind of a concern for anybody in Philadelphia?
I would say it's a distinct possibility. I would say you could argue that the Eagles fans might be the quickest fans to boo in the NFL. No. They have a very high standard. And I think in fairness to them, I think they know how talented they are. You know, I mean, Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown, it's a top five wide receiver duo. Saquon Barkley's a top five running back. You know, Dallas Goedert's probably a top five tight end. Jalen Hurts is a Super Bowl MVP winning quarterback. You know, what's really different about them this year, watching them, is last year I thought the offensive line was probably clearly the best in the NFL. I mean, it was almost like Kellen Moore could pick whatever run he wanted and it just worked. And this year, those guys have just really been banged up and in and out of the lineup. And even the guys, when they are out there, you can tell they're not as healthy. And so, but still, I think that the Eagles fans are right to have a high standard. You know, most guys that play in Philly, and I did not. I grew up around there. I played for five teams other than the Eagles, but I grew up there. Grew up a fan back in the Randall Cunningham, Reggie White days, which somehow, by the way, they never like won a playoff game. No. Randall Cunningham, Reggie White. Don't even get me started.
I covered those teams. I covered those teams.
Yeah, and I want to say now to like fans now that like complain, are you out of your mind? We didn't win any playoff games when I was young. You know, like they were all being won by the Niners or you know the other NFC East teams. But most guys will tell you that played for multiple teams, there's no better place to be a really good player or on a really good team than in Philadelphia. And there's no worse place to be a bad player or be on a bad team than Philadelphia. It's the total extremes, right? If they love you, if you're Brian Dawkins, if you're Jason Kelce, you are like a god. Mm-hmm. And if you're not, then you're not. And so, Matt, I think it's a terrific question. And I think that should be a real goal of the Niners defensively is to try to get a couple of three and outs early because then the fans will, I don't think turn against them is the right way to describe it, but they will certainly be grumbling and get frustrated and not be supporting the Eagles to the level they're capable of. Whereas, as you guys saw a few years ago in the NFC Championship game, if they get rolling early, then it's like a snowball going downhill and it gets so loud and the players feed off of it and it becomes a real, real challenge.
Ross, we don't want to keep you too long. I want to ask you, you mentioned Robert Saleh, just to take this maybe a little away from the game. We know he's very highly regarded. The Jets thing did not work out great for him, but I don't think he's dinged too much. Would you expect Saleh to get a head coaching job? How highly regarded would you make him, you know, as a defensive mind in a field? It looks like there's going to be a lot of defensive minded head guys getting these head coaching jobs. It looks like those are the top candidates.
I think he's got a heck of a chance. I do think the top two guys right now are John Harbaugh and Kevin Stefanski. Mm-hmm. And I think both those guys will get jobs if they want them. But there's still six other jobs available. And in a weird way, it's almost like going to the Jets doesn't hurt you if it doesn't go well. The Jets are like a free spin at this thing. It's like if you go there and it goes well, congrats. If you go there and it goes poorly, hey, it's not your fault. It's the Jets. You know, it's a wild, wild dynamic over there. And so I think Saleh has an excellent chance. And to be honest with you, did a terrific job. I mean, I would have thought there was no chance they'd be where they are. They lost two of the 20, maybe 10 best defensive players in the sport, you know, and Fred Warner and Nick Bosa. And there was a run there. I don't know. They had a couple games in a row where the opponent didn't even get to double digits. Now they got lit up by the Bears. They got lit up in some of these other games. You know, Phillip Rivers was able to put some points up on them. But when you look at who he's playing with, like, this is how I look at it, okay? This would be a fun game. Go through the starting lineup for the 49ers defense. How many of those guys would start for the Eagles defense? And the answer, I'm just doing it off the top of my head right now. I'm going to say two, maybe?
Yeah, Lenore.
I think Lenore would start a corner. Opposite, he's not better than Quinyon Mitchell.
Yep.
But he would start a corner instead of a Dory Jackson opposite Quinyon Mitchell. And I think whichever safety you think is better, let's just say Mustafa, I would think he would probably start next to Reed Blankenship. I don't know who do they consider Jair to be better or Malik Mustafa?
Good question. Barrows, you got an answer for that one?
Well, I think they love Jair Brown. The fans out here don't love Jair Brown quite as much, but that would be a bit of a toss up. Both of those guys, Ross, have struggled in recent weeks tackling big plays on the ball, making any plays on the ball. So that could be.
Those guys seem to be like almost over aggressive sometimes.
They're having to take a lot of tackles.
But at safety, I don't know, like. They're making a bunch of tackles for loss. That's a good thing, but I always think, okay, well, who's back then if they're not making that tackle, you know?
and might lead to it.
But the point is I think those are probably the only two guys that would start for the Eagles defense, which says a lot about a lot.
No question. And, you know, and the guys that they're going to have, he's just standing on the sideline in sweats or up in the press box, Fred Warner, Nick Bosa, Mikael Williams, on down the line. Great point. I want to wrap this up. Ross, let's make sure you get paid here. Insider calls are brought to you by Nationwide for your insurance needs. Nationwide is on your side. I got to get me one of these deals, Ross. I want one of these deals where I get paid for when someone else reads it off. It's just tremendous. Thank you so much.
I don't make the rules. I just know that when Odyssey tells me to go on somewhere, I do it and I enjoy it. And yes, I do get compensated for it, which is nice. I'm looking forward to the game. You guys won't be able to hear it out there if you're in the Bay Area, but if you're somewhere else, I'll be calling the game with Ian Eagle for Westwood One nationally. All right. So if you're one of the folks that listens in Kansas or wherever, you know, you get a chance to listen to our broadcast if you'd like. You know, I did the Niners-Colts a few weeks ago on Monday Night Football with Kevin Harlan, and there were a lot of Niners fans there. I mean, I know you guys see this, but every away game, there's a bunch of Niners fans. I'm sure there will be a bunch in Philly. It's not like it was when I was growing up at the Vet, but I still would not recommend wearing Niners gear. You know, when I played there as a player, my family knew better. You know, I told them, but they knew better. You do not draw attention to yourself. Do not wear gear of the other team. I mean, it's just not worth it. It's a lot tamer now than it was back in the day. Thank
you. Ross, have you had the experience of the visiting press section of the press box? You know, we sit on the very first row against the glass there. And
what's it like?
The fans are exactly, you know, parallel with us, our height. And instead of watching the game, they turn around and beat on the glass and spit on the glass and give the, you know what. And that's what we see during the games.
He's been complaining about this and complaining about this. It's not that bad.
You know what's funny?
It's not that bad.
First game I suited up for my rookie year with the Redskins was at Philly at the Vet.
Mm-hmm.
And we're coming on the bus. And I'm not kidding you. Maybe six-year-olds, okay, are giving us the finger. And a couple of them. And guys on the bus are like, yo, did you see that little girl? Did you see that?
They started young.
And I was like, yep, I'm home. This is where I'm from. This is how you're raised. Right or wrong, that's just the culture. And it's wrong. Interesting how different it is from there to like, in 2017, the Minnesota Vikings played in the NFC Championship game there. And those people are so nice, and they had no idea what they were about. So, like, the Philly people would say they're soft, and then the Minnesota people would say that they're vulgar and horrible people, right? So it's all just it's where you were brought up and your culture.
It won't be that bad. I keep telling Barros it will not be that bad.
I'm scared.
At least you're on the other side of the glass.
Didn't it open once and the people were reaching through?
The last time we were there, the glass partition opened, Ross, and I thought I was going to get snatched out into the. Hey, Ross, I'm going to tell people. I know Ross Tucker.
I think you're going to be good.
That'll help. That'll help, actually. They love me there.
All right. Thank you so much for coming on, Ross. Appreciate it. We've taken care of the reads. You were great. And, thanks for acknowledging that we're slightly higher. We're not a bunch of frauds here on this show.
No, my pleasure. Good. You guys are legends. You've been doing it for 20-plus years. Thanks for having me. I'll see you guys Sunday.
See you out there Sunday. All right, everybody. That's the show for today. Thanks so much, Ross. See you next time.
If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or personal loans, help is here. More and more Americans turn to credit cards to get by. National Debt Relief is helping qualified clients reduce what they owe. For many, continuing to struggle making minimum monthly payments could take years to pay off. National Debt Relief has already helped over 550,000 Americans reduce their debt by negotiating directly with their creditors. When you call, you'll be amazed at how much you can save and how quickly you can become debt-free. If you want off the debt treadmill, visit NationalDebtRelief.com today. You don't need to declare bankruptcy, and you may qualify for significant debt relief. To find out what savings you may qualify for, simply visit NationalDebtRelief.com. That's NationalDebtRelief.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sofia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy bobopedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.